I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. So it's another stream of consciousness. It's Tuesday morning. Been doing paperwork, answering emails, and all the usual stuff I have to do on this day. And, you know, I have some thoughts I would like to get out, because it's been a pretty hectic, crazy week. And things have certainly felt a little bit different since what we saw happen to Charlie Kirk. On every platform imaginable, repeatedly, you know, we have been watching this person die over and over and over and over again. And everybody's analysing the footage from every single possible angle, slowing it down to impossible speeds, questioning every single aspect and every single frame and every single pixel of this tragedy. And I sat back initially. I just sat back and I watched the whole thing unfold. And I only heard about it I heard about it prior, but I didn't really think much of it because it wasn't on my radar or something to think much about. Because I'm going to be honest, I didn't really know much about the guy. I'm kind of out of that university debate scene, you know, the prove me wrong scene, which Steven Crowder kind of popularized, and this left versus right, the liberals versus the conservative debate sphere. I just wasn't in it anymore, you know. And I was there during its prominent rise from the 2016 period, you know. And you know, I watched all of that happen, and I was there with it initially, but I kind of left it behind. Grew out of it might be a good way to describe it, but I know it's always there, and I've always kind of watched and observed from a distance and peeked in every now and then to see what the emotional climate is between these two groups. And I have been watching it just get progressively worse. I could see the Overton window was clearly shifting, you know, and I could see that the right was certainly gaining more of a foothold in younger generations, and the leftist ideologies were certainly losing their traction, losing their grip, and losing their binds on civilization and policy and the rest of it. And, you know, people weren't really listening to them anymore and laughing at them and mocking them more and more. And the left were isolating and doubling down more and getting more absurd and more insane. And it was certainly becoming just an absolute scene. I could definitely see that. I've been watching it for 2016. But Charlie Kirk kind of came after the COVID period is when he really rose up, I think. And by that point, I'd kind of shifted and moved on and was focusing on other things. Predominantly my own research into eschatology and other conspiratorial ideas. So I kind of left that political realm because you can get really sucked into it. And I felt like for my own mental clarity, I needed to just step back and stay out of it, you know, maybe watch as an observer from the outside. So like I said, to get to the point, I didn't really know who Charlie Kirk was. He wasn't on my radar. So when I first heard about it, I moved on and did my live show for 100,000 subscribers. And there he was being mentioned in the comments sections nonstop that he's dead. He's been pronounced dead, you know, and my initial reaction, which I did post on YouTube, you can go and watch it. 2 hours after the event had happened, I basically said, we need to be extremely careful. This is going to be manipulated in a big way to produce a outcome, which has probably been pre-planned in some way. And that isn't to say the whole thing is fake, but it is to say that they have fermented a society where something like this was just waiting to happen. And as soon as somebody pulled the trigger and made something like this happen, I believe they have a huge filing cabinet of A to Z possibilities in which they can spin this thing. And they were just waiting for somebody to do something so they could spin it and kick off the next step in their long-term goal and agenda and plans. And when I first heard about this, I was like, okay, so this has clearly riled up some emotions in a huge way, like a very big way. And when emotions ride high, that's when they move. that's when they make their move. So I said in my initial reactions, this seems like a compounding straw in an attempt to break the camel's back. And this is a heavy one. And it just came off the back of the stabbing of the Ukrainian girl. And it's like, if we're not stirring up racial tensions, then they're now stirring up political tensions simultaneously. And then obviously they were stirring up a lot of tension. The media has been hyper-focused lately on the trans shooter narrative, really getting that the right side angry, and rightfully so, because it's horrible things and people are dying and yeah, it's horrible. And morally speaking, it's righteous to hate these types of actions. It really is. So it's not like I'm saying and denigrating people for reacting. Of course, I get it, you know, but I'm of the mindset that, well, they're playing us that way. They're playing on our morality. They're playing on our emotions. They're making things happen, or at least putting the camera on certain things when they happen to make sure we see them so we will react. And they, in a way, I feel, don't have to really fake much these days. We are doing the things they want us to do off our own accord, because they have subtly brainwashed a lot of people and traumatized a lot of people and given a huge swath of the population of any civilization the mentality of nihilism and loneliness and desperation, to the point where these type of events and shootings and executions and violent retaliation against opposing ideologies, well, yeah, we live in the in a world where that is going to happen now. A lot. It's called civil war. People have been diametrically opposed to each other, ideologically speaking. And when, you know, to quote Stephen Molyneux, and again, I'll get onto that in a minute, but I watched one of his initial reactions and immediately, you know, it was, this is the left killing the right narrative. That was the immediate go-to that he was going for. And he made a good point. You know, I think this is a point that I think Charlie himself was trying to promote most of the time. And it's that when words end, violence begins. And I think the politically charged atmosphere of the world today is beyond words now. I really think violence seems to be the only option for both sides, and this is how they see it. And in my initial video, like I was saying, that's exactly where they want you. It's exactly where they want you. They've got you if you're in that mindset. And thankfully, I actually haven't seen much rise for violence from the right side. I've not actually, and I'm quite surprised. Maybe they failed. I think they're pushing and pushing and pushing the more conservative right side of this civil war they're fermenting with more violent, horrible situations to try and make them snap. But it's really hard to get people with fundamental Christian values to get violence. It's very difficult. And I think their push to do that is not working very well. And this, you know, men make plans, but God laughs type of attitude. But sadly, this does mean more things are coming in the pipeline to keep pushing us, to keep pushing that right side, to push the traditionalist Christian value types. And I would say stop identifying with left or right. It's a bad idea. You know, we try and see it from both sides, shall we say, as much as you possibly can, and understand that these are weapons that are used against us to control us. And we need to always be aware of that. And if you find yourself getting overly emotional and then calling for retaliation, they've kind of got you. That's exactly kind of what they're after here. They want retaliation. They want us to do this. So I've been trying to think about why. Well, why exactly? Because like I said, my initial reaction was just level heads, calm down, think analytically, watch before you say anything or do anything stupid for now. Let's just get all the data in first before we make any assumptions. Because it's the knee-jerk reactions that are used to die-cast entire groups, you know. And I couldn't help but see from the truther community the immediate narrative of this is all fake, this is all staged, it's a hologram. The most out-there ridiculous statements you can imagine were coming out immediately before we even knew anything. And it's kind of, look, I understand there's kind of precedence to assume that they've faked some things because it happens. And I've been there, you know, I've been doing this for a while. I've seen those type of things. I understand that they can do that. I understand about the law that was passed in America where they can quite literally make stuff up on the news and say it's real now. And they plan to exercise something like that, I assume. So they're probably doing it. I get it. But we didn't know or don't know for 100% certain that anything's fake. So how can we make such accusations immediately without evidence? That's a bad look for us as a community. And I'm all about, you know, trying to make the community just think before they speak. That's kind of what I'm known for. And you know, I think my Tips for Truth series can apply quite well here right now. And I ask anybody listening to maybe go and check that out and listen to some of the messages I've said in those videos to try and understand that there are ways we need to deal with this in order not to push people away. There are ways to make people open to alternative ideas. And if you don't do it right, you'll lose them before you even have a chance to convince them of anything. And I feel like even the truther community is split over this. And again, my channel is usually commentary on the truth of culture, like a meta commentary on reactions rather than the events itself. And if you want to think the country's divided, or you know, the Western world is divided between left and right politically, or divided culturally, you know, between and you know, culture clashes all over the place. There's a division everywhere for many reasons, rich versus the poor. Well, I would say this event has also divided the truther community in a big way. And that's where we have to stop and pause and think. Perhaps that was a desired outcome from all of this. Maybe they were trying to make the truth and movement weaker by having an event that would stir up questions, because it's highly questionable. I completely agree. This does not add up. This does not pass the sniff test. None of this makes sense. The official narrative is falling apart quickly. You know, this isn't right. I get it, you know. And we have rights to question these things. We really do, because it's just obviously a total fuck up, like from every direction. Like, and we are being so overloaded with so much knowledge and information from every angle, and false ideas and right opinions and evidences. We're just so overloaded with it that we can't really pass through it fast enough to get a coherent answer before the next thing turns up and the next new revelation. And that's kind of how they control the narrative. They overload you with information. So if I can kind of go full circle here, back to the point I was making about the truth of culture, it seems like we've been completely divided over the it's all a hoax or it's real group. That's the division that's been created here now. And there very much is an attitude on behalf of primarily the hoaxer side that if you're not with us, you're not really a truther, you're against us. That kind of attitude. And that's exactly where they want us. That's the point. And I do feel like a lot of clues have been just left behind conveniently for us to pick up and point to, saying, see, it's all controlled, it's all fake, it's all a hoax, you know, because they put 33 everywhere and all this type of thing. And I think they're playing us hard, because they have done that in the past with big events. And I think now they're doing it on purpose for us to purposely find, so they can point the camera to the crazy truthers over there making wild claims and assertions over a man's life who just died, with a completely no evidence whatsoever but these crazy conspiracy theories and ideas. And I think they are intending to implement a change very soon that could silence us. So we have to be extremely careful. I mean, very, very, very careful. And we shouldn't be rushing so quickly to just make bold claims or assertions. And I watched Candace Owens last night, late at night. She did like a stream that had like 300,000 people watching it. You know, and her message was basically, it seems like there was more than one shooter. So that's a new thing to compile on top of all of this that now has us questioning everything and reevaluating who's really responsible for Charlie Kirk's death. And I feel like that's going to be the running narrative for the next year or two. Who's truly responsible? You know, it's JFK all over again. And that will keep us busy for a while. While policy gets changed and moves are made behind the scenes and controls are implemented against us. And I see a lot of videos coming out as well, you know, of people kind of demanding change, demanding policy change from President-elect Trump, making little TikToks saying, you need to do this now, Mr. President, you know, you need to sort out this act in which anybody can post anything as truth, you know. And it's kind of, on the surface, sounds reasonable. You know, we need to shut down these people saying these things and, you know, going against Charlie Kirk's death. It's hideous. It's heinous what they're saying. They shouldn't be allowed to say that. They should be fired from their jobs. You should censor these things. You should be censoring all the footage of him being shot. This shouldn't be allowed. And, you know, on the surface, I agree that I don't want to see people being killed repeatedly on X, which happens quite a lot now, you know, and it's kind of, but then at the same time, I'm like, it seems like they've let all that happen on purpose. So people would demand such things, which are not going to be used in the long run for our benefit. It's actually going to be used to stop us from being able to speak and talk. The truther community is probably not going to be able to continue because of these changes that are coming, which the people demanded from the governments because of this Charlie Kirk incident and because of the vicious left's reactions to it. Well, now, us in the middle who aren't playing that game, even we're going to get shut down and probably not be able to talk about these things anymore or be deplatformed and the rest of it because we come under the disinformation category as far as the official narrative is concerned. So we're going to be silenced because media platforms are no longer allowed to spread disinformation. You know, and the argument they're going to use is, well, the media's been spreading disinformation against the right for so long that it resulted in Charlie Kirk's death because this radicalized side believes he was practically Hitler because of the lies the media had been spinning for so long. But the problem is, when the right realizes that the government's corrupt, even they aren't going to be allowed to say anything because of the laws they demanded would be implemented. Can you see how this works? It's problem, reaction, solution. They cause the problem, the people react, they give the solution the people want, but that was the solution that they wanted all along, and they made the people ask for it and beg for it. But, you know, silence me more, Big Daddy government, please. You know, it's that type of thing. And that was my issue all in all from the beginning. I was like, they're going to use the reactions to gain more control. And they're doing it. They are doing it. It's already happening. And you're seeing these videos coming out, you know. And that one I'm talking about there about repealing the, is it the Smith-Mundt Act? I'm probably butchering that. I don't really know. But it did allow the media to lie and use propaganda on its own people legally, you know. And this young Gen Z is making this video to President Trump. And then President Trump retweets it, you know, sorry, or whatever you call it now, reposts it on X. And it's kind of, they're showing you that, yeah, you know, this is what we want. This is what the young people want. And, you know, it's real. This is really happening. This is what the president is reposting, you know, these ideas that they're going to make these implements and changes. Because everyone's emotions are running so wildly high now that they can get away with making these big moves, these big sweeping changes, and everyone will be okay with it. And that's scary. So, you know, I was doing a talk with someone from my other channel, Understanding Creativity, here. We were talking about MKUltra, so that's coming out soon, about mind control programming in the 60s onwards and kind of how the experiments were done and just how horrible it truly was, you know, and the tortures these people suffered and how artists seem to be heavily involved in this process in many ways, and as spies and espionage agents who went through the program themselves. And at one point towards the end, you know, she was talking about the Schumann resonance. And this is something I've not really looked into much until afterwards, after she mentioned it. But yeah, there is generally tends to be like a frequency or a ringing hum to the earth in some way, which is connected to us, the people, and controls many things like sleep patterns and our health and our gut health and our emotions. It seems to be linked to our emotions in many ways. And also things like thunder and lightning and pressure and weather patterns. And she showed me that the event of Charlie Kirk's assassination, when that happened, the Schumann resonance exploded and went just nothing but white on the screen, when it should be just a series of like blips here and there and lines, but it was just one extreme white hot day or two, you know. It seemed to go on for a while. And this begs the question, like, did the Schumann resonance cause this by being so high and then changing the way people behaved? Or did the people's emotions running so high affect the Schumann resonance? That's the question. Is that's what we really don't know. And we're going to have to try and figure out, because even if you do like an AI search on the Schumann resonance, even they say we need to do more research on this because we don't really know the connection to people's emotions and this energy, you know. And I thought that was interesting that, yeah, emotionally speaking, we can see even on like measurement devices, it went crazy. The energy of the Earth went wild when that happened. Like, people changed. So, you know, going off what we just saw there about the Schumann resonance, that energy is produced by people when big events happen. And it does feel like something atmospheric changed around us after the assassination. Everyone could feel it, right? Something was different. Something was in the air. Like, everyone's countenance had just dropped. No one was the same. Everyone could just feel this sense of, well, this is just awful. Anybody and everybody, not even like just the truthers or the police, it doesn't matter who you were. There was this, a lot of people who knew that this had changed things. This was a big collective emotional event. And the Schumann resonance does seem to indicate that, yeah, that we felt it collectively. It was so charged that it changed the resonance of the Earth. You know, that's intense. But we could all feel that thing, and maybe people struggled to sleep that night or were quite emotional that day and that night, you know, and the subsequent day. And I think this is primarily because a large portion of the population was traumatized by what happened. And trauma is powerful. As I was explaining earlier, you know, about MK Ultra, that is a method in which you break people down through trauma, extreme pain, psychologically and physically, in order to break them. And once you've broken them down with enough trauma and pain, you can make them a blank slate in which you can reprogram. Or they create altered personalities to cope with the traumatic reality they're currently living with, to escape into. And that altered personality then becomes something they can use or trigger to go out and do things. And, you know, they claim this whole program ended a long time ago, but it likely didn't end. It just went to phase two. And they're probably implementing it now. Yeah, trauma can change you. And make you malleable, make you perhaps do things you otherwise wouldn't have done. And I can't help but feel this whole event was, on a mass scale, a trauma-inducing event in order to change people. Someone said a phrase which I thought was quite poignant, I can't remember who now, but I was watching a video. We're living in a post-Kirk world now. Things will never be the same. And the trauma was induced by repeatedly showing his death over and over and over and over again on every single social media platform with zero censorship. Which again was probably done by design, because they plan on implementing censorship as a solution to people's reactions to having to see death all the time. Why wasn't this censored? We need more censorship control. That's probably coming in the pipeline because of this event. All of it seems to be orchestrated in a way where they've allowed a lot of things to happen recently, so we can react, and they can offer the solution. So yeah, mass trauma seems to be what this was on one hand. And when people are traumatized, then they change. Usually not for the better. But another thing that seems to have been allowed, never mind just the repeated death and murder on the internet, videos after video of people being killed, over the past 3-4 years, I've noticed that. I've seen a lot of people die brutally and horribly, especially on X, with no warning, just randomly appears on your screen in brutal, horrible ways. And this Charlie Kirk thing is no different. That's exactly what happened. But another thing that seems to be ramping up over the same time period is that it's okay now to notice, if you know what that means. The noticing is happening. And everyone's starting to realize that a certain peoples seem to be nefariously doing things behind the scenes, which are causing a lot of problems for us. And this seems like it's been intentionally allowed to ferment and stir up as well, as a counter to the extreme leftist rhetoric, you know, and that type of culture. You have the opposite, in a way. And it seems like this whole event is going to lead up to a backlash in which Israel is blamed in some way, or the peoples of Israel are blamed. And can you blame people for thinking that? It seems like the whole thing is orchestrated to make people think that and feel that way. They're kind of allowing it. It hasn't been cracked down on like it used to be for a long time. And I think that's on purpose. I think it's on purpose. I think something's going on here. A long-term plan coming to fruition. I think, like I said, they're trying to make the right clap back in a big way. And if that clap back includes an attack on that people, you best believe it's going to be framed as an extreme atrocity in some way, which will have long-lasting consequences for freedom and free speech and the rest. And never again will that group be able to be criticized in any way, shape, or form, or their actions be pointed out. That's probably where it's going, realistically, if we're not extremely careful about how this is handled. And again, like I said, luckily, optimistically, it seems like no violence has been perpetrated as a retaliation. It seems like they may have failed to foment such a situation, if we're lucky. Okay. But someone's mentioned a long-term thing in a comment to me, which I thought was quite poignant as well. And it seems like we can't forget that there was a letter to a Mazzini, a member of the Freemasons back in the day. And Albert Pike wrote this letter, who was a high-level 33rd degree Mason as well. And he was talking about the fermenting of the Third World War, or three world wars, shall we see, with the last culminating in Islam and Zionism mutually destroying each other. In order to make way for the Luciferian doctrine, the Luciferian religion, after a complete mental and physical exhaustion of the peoples through religious war. And someone mentioned that this whole event could be leading to the idea that maybe it's going to ferment like an anti-Jewish sentiment in civilization again, which is going to make them all retreat to their promised land, to Jerusalem, to their homeland, and leave all these countries, which will feel like a victory on our, on like the part of like the Western civilization, because, you know, finally we're free from the undermining of this group of people, of our culture, you know. But this kind of then does fulfill like a prophecy of the Jewish people, in which they will return to their promised land, and then they have their temple, and then that will bring their Messiah. Because they don't believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They're still waiting for him. But for that to happen, first of all, there has to be like a coming back situation happening. And maybe this is to orchestrate that coming back situation, in which, you know, then there'll be a war between the Islamic world and the Zionist world as a consequence for what the Zionists have done in Gaza, for example. Like a backlash to that situation. And it's just going to be a complete and total bloody, disgusting, Albert Pike style Third World War letter to Mazzini war, which will make us exacerbated. So maybe this is like long-term thinking. That's where this is actually all going. This is just setting the stage to justify their return to that land in a narrative sense that makes sense for the history books. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's what's going on here, and why we have seen such like an allowance of that kind of sentiment arise again. But I think it's a bait and switch. They want people to do that so they can shut it down because of what they're going to do, you know. It'll be like that type of situation, and then it'll create this atmosphere of we're leaving the countries because we're not safe there anymore. We have to go back to Jerusalem as a peoples, you know, and then that'll lead to the next step, that war in the Middle East, the big one. The real big one that brings everybody into it instantly. Right now, they're teasing it. You know, but they'll seriously be like a all hands on deck situation from every faction and every side. So that's an interesting take I heard, which I thought maybe that's the long term plan. I don't know. Okay, I'm spitballing here. Stream of consciousness. I'm just thinking out loud. But my takeaways are primarily right now, because this is something, again, it's a play-by-play basis. I can only analyze what I know when I know it. But I feel like there is a... big changes are coming, and we are being played to implement those changes, and it's going to involve censorship, a crackdown on freedom of speech, a serious deplatforming effort targeted towards those who are saying heinous things about Charlie Kirk, okay, and those who are celebrating his death. They'll lose their jobs, they'll lose their platforms, they'll lose their voice, they'll be censored and taken away. But under that category, you do realize, don't you, that those truthers out there saying it's all fake and he's not really dead are going to be lumped in the same category as disrespecting Charlie Kirk and what he did in his death, right? And as a result, any truther community is going to be deemed as disinformation under that umbrella. So I can see that happening. I can really see that happening. I can see a complete and total shutdown and a destruction of the truth movement, which then is perfect for what's to come in the future, because then there'll be zero dissident voices. Because rightfully so, these lunatic leftists deserve to be silenced. But they've orchestrated and created a culture where these people exist in order to justify this move coming around the corner. It's all just playing us against each other to implement their control systems. So that's the first takeaway. The second takeaway is this idea that it's Israel's fault. That's being promoted everywhere, including in mainstream sources. Like I said, even Candace Owens pointing out, seems like there's a second government and it seems suspicious that Israel might be involved in here in a very big way. She's saying that, and she's trying to ferment that idea. All the comment sections are saying that's the case. If they're not saying the government did it, which again would say they're in collusion with Israel, therefore that's why this happened, you know. But I think that's setting up to the next future event of some kind of real and or orchestrated backlash towards the Jewish peoples, which will justify them cracking down on the peoples and making them not be able to criticize anymore, but also their return home en masse in preparation for that final cleansing of the area, complete takeover, for then the Muslim backlash towards the Zionist takeover to happen, fomenting that Third World War, which was predicted or at least planned by Albert Pike and the Freemasons, you know. A long, long-term plan, this is, by the way. This isn't just happening overnight. This is like almost like over 100 years old. This is like a very, very old plan. An extremely old plan. So who knows? Just some thoughts. Just my first initial thoughts on this situation that I just wanted to bring to you guys. I'm still watching. I'm still thinking. You know me. I am... tentative about most of these subjects. I'm very careful to make any sweeping statements one way or the other. This is all just speculation. This is all just opinion. This is all just ideas. That's all I'm working with, and I'm going to try my best to keep myself separated emotionally from this, because this is emotionally charged. I get it, you know. To those out there who, you know, watched this assassination and really felt scared and down about it, because it's the idea of, well, it could have been me. That's how people feel about this. I get it. Because he got killed for his ideas and his faith in Christ. And simply having faith in Christ and having ideas contrary to a group of people out there is scary, that that's enough to be killed now. To be killed for. He wasn't a violent person. He technically did nothing wrong. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. But he was still deemed worthy of murder by a certain group of people, which we now know live among us. There are people within our culture and society who we can recognize sometimes, but we can't know what people are thinking and what they believe, who may actually kill us if they discover they don't like our opinion. That's how it feels. That's how people are actually feeling. They're feeling like there's murderers in our midst, and it could be us at any moment. The amount of times I've heard the phrase, keep your head on a swivel, by so many content creators since this event is ridiculous. It's almost as though like that's a buzz phrase that's been injected into the movement to keep people on their toes, you know. Because now it's kind of like our enemy is at the door. They're in our midst. They're here already. It could be your friends. It could be your neighbors. It could be your own family. You don't really know. You know, and it's kind of, and for the Christian conservatives out there, like, watch your back. That's how people feel now. They've been thoroughly frightened and scared beyond wits over this event. And that's civil war stuff. And, you know, even in my own home, I could feel like, oh, this is a scary precedent, because what Charlie Kirk was, what, 31? I'm 33. He had two children around the ages of, what, 2 and 4 or something like this. I have similar age children. He's a content creator who creates alternative media questioning narratives. So do I. Yeah, so he does feel like him. It could have been me. You can easily get there and get charged and roped into thinking and feeling like that. So I get it. I really get it. I get why this event is so scary to a lot of people. But I feel like that's where they want us. That's where they want us on this. They want us thinking, yo, you want to speak the truth, do you? Are you sure? Look what happened to Charlie Kirk, you know. And there are a lot of people who are rising up saying, no, I will not be silenced and all this. But I feel like that's a part of it, isn't it? That's all a part of what these type of events stir up in people. And it seems organic, like an awakening has happened in some way. And in many ways, I suppose it has. But you have to understand that energy is going to be flowed in the direction they want it to go. They are the orchestrators of the narrative when it comes to media control. And a lot of people are not thinking about this whole event outside of the media. They're in it. They're fully on board with the narrative train. They're on there. They've got a seat and they're having some snacks while they're at it. They're there with it. They're going along with the train. Like, controlled narratives, or the hijacking of events to justify change, well, that often comes with an official story and an official conspiracy. Official story, lone crazy leftist gunman. Official conspiracy, Israel did it. And both are allowed. Okay? And that's, again, to cause a division which breaks apart everybody on every angle. So I'll stop there before I go on too much, and otherwise I'm just basically rambling now, but you kind of get these early thoughts I've got going ahead, I'm sure. Leave your own opinions down below, where you think we stand on this, what you think's going on. Try not to let this just divide everything. Try not to start making enemies of everyone around you based on their opinion on what happened here. Okay, because again, if you start doing that, that's where they want us. That's exactly the results that are ideal for the enemy. So let's bear that in mind, people. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.